I am Iron Man.
We can do this all day.
I am Thor, son of Odin.
And Hulk. Smash.
Dormammu, I come to bargain.
The Black Panther has been a protector of Wakanda for generations. The mantle passed from warrior to warrior.
Wow, you're the Avengers!
Hey, you know what? There's another name you might know me by.
Star-Lord.
Who?
Star-Lord,
man. Legendary outlaw.
So yeah, Captain Marvel, guys. Christian, what were your initial thoughts? Because I actually really like this movie a lot.
I really liked it too. I was surprised at how much I liked it because I was hearing like whatever the press was going on and like some of the people who I trust as reviewers didn't really like it as much. But then when I saw it, I'm just like, well, I guess that's why I watch movies to formulate my own opinion now.
Exactly, exactly. No, I thought the same. I thought it was getting so much bad. I mean, it got so much bad press for political reasons, which is ridiculous. But the whole movie beginning to end, I was entertained. And I think that's exactly what Marvel needs to do and what they go for. And they nail it every time. And it was just compelling. It was fun. I had a great time. Funny. A lot of hilarious scenes, honestly. I feel like it was on the top notch of one of the more comedic Marvel movies, like how Thor Ragnarok was. So I'm glad that they're really going in this direction of continuing that same kind of style. Especially, I mean, I feel like you needed this after Infinity War is ending.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm so happy we're past the days of Thor the Dark World, where it's just like, just so bland and uninteresting. Now it's like, oh, everything's great.
Now it's true. Thor the Dark World was quite some time ago. So yeah. It's kind of crazy how it's evolved. So I guess I know you wanted to start with some stuff. So I'm going to let you, we can go in a linear fashion or we can just pick and choose the parts we really want to talk about. So I'm going to let you go because I know you have some stuff that you wanted to go over.
Yes, I do. Well, the first thing I want to do is the wonderful Stan Lee tribute and the opening logo for Marvel. It made me very happy and everyone in the theater was like happy.
Yeah.
And like, it was one of those things. It was a great tribute and I just enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Quite a bit. Actually.
And I'm going to say, I think that they should continue that for the next two movies. Cause those are the last two of Marvel for the year. And I feel like it'd be appropriate to have it for Endgame and then also to have it for Spider-Man, because I know right now, at least for the good part after he died, a lot of any issue of Marvel Comics had like a black page on the back, and then in the front, the first page you turned, it said, you know, Stan Lee, R.I.P. Stan Lee, and then the page after that was just like a picture of him or whatever.
So the second thing I wanted to get into is, well, when the movie started, I was a bit worried. Because it literally just starts. Like, I'm just like, oh, wait a minute, what's going on? It's a very quick start, and it just kind of, like, threw me into that, and I'm just like, I kind of wanted a little bit more, like, lead into it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I get that, but I also wanted to get right into the action, and they delivered that, because it opens up with, oh yeah, and spoilers, everyone, probably should say that.
Yeah, spoilers.
It opens up with her in the wreckage, right? That's how it starts. And then we
get, it's like a dream sequence.
And then we get the first look of our not quite villain.
Yeah.
Right? Don't they show him walking up and killing
No, it's a Skrull first.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But they show the Skrull in the beginning.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
The part where they're just like probing her mind and just like continuously rewinding. I thought that was great.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So once she gets captured by the Skrulls, I'm going to say I felt like the one beginning was kind of like the generic Marvel stuff, which is fine. You know, it just, I feel like it's weird when it's just like, okay, here's like, it reminded me like Guardians of the Galaxy, right? It's like, here's the opening planet where there's some like trouble and then, you know,
you get into the meat. You get into the meat and bones of it.
Yeah. Although I do, I don't know. I do like that they showed her with her team, like what it's supposed to be, her working with the Kree and everyone that's a Kree, they seem pretty cool and good. I love the back and forth between Jimon Hansu and Captain Marvel, and I forget.
Very good pronunciation on that name, by the way.
Thank you. I know everyone wants to say Digimon, but yeah, he's
that's
French.
That's how I say it. That was tough.
Thank you, though. Thank you. Yeah, I pride myself to be able to pronounce his name correctly. But yeah, so yeah, the beginning, we still got to get a nice look into how it is to be on the Kree side, which all we've known about the Kree is Guardians Ronan. 1, and we know Ronan is a huge asshole.
We'll get to him in a bit.
Yeah, we will get to him in a bit. But yeah, back into the how we were talking about the mind probing scene. That was when I was like, I love the Skrulls.
I mean, it's Ben Mendelsohn, you know. He's just the best.
He really is.
Like, he just needs, his character is like any character that he plays. Like, that's just him, I feel.
I think you're right, but he had like the humor was just there. Like him, his actions, because they make the Skrulls in the beginning of the movie seem like these super badass, like evil, nasty creatures. And then when they capture her, they're just so hilarious and ridiculous. And I'm so glad that they did like the, ooh, this is, they kind of did with the Thor, not to pull it back to Thor Ragnarok, but the style, how it was like Surtur was like this big, like, I'm bad. And then Thor's doing the spinning. It was like kind of like that reveal where I'm like, oh, this Talos, right? Was his name?
Talos
is like a huge badass, like Skrull guy. He's a mean motherfucker. And then he's just like, no, go back. Oh, do this or
rewind. Replay.
No, this kind of. And the Australian accent, I was telling you, I had no idea he was from Australia. I thought he was British as fuck.
Nah, he's Australian. Like, you finally got to hear him in his native accent.
Yeah, which was a nice thing to have.
So getting into the meat of everything, though, when she finally lands on Earth and we get our first look at 90s Sam Jackson, it put the biggest smile on my face.
That was awesome. Incredible.
It looked like he just walked off the set of Jurassic Park. Like, I'm just like, oh,
it
shit.
Does.
Like,
it does.
It's crazy.
And you know what? With all the I know a lot of people give like different movies shit for like the digital youth or the digital faces. Guys, if you haven't seen this film, and I know the trailers made him look good. That's the movie. And if anything, it looks even better because you don't. I mean, honestly, I just saw him as, like, I saw him as just like being Sam Jackson, like not even like an age change.
Yeah, like, and you notice it the first time, like he comes on screen. For the rest of the movie, it's just normal to you. But it's so natural and so like just how an effect should be, where you just don't notice. It's just fantastic.
Yeah, if you're not noticing it, I think it's like probably one of the best things. And he was such a good role, like a good supporting role.
Like, kind of inexperienced, like, oh, like, everything's normal, like, 9-to-5 job.
Yes.
And then it's like, we have an alien invasion on our hands.
Yeah. And back on the 90s thing, I loved Brie Larson's interaction with the world around her when she gets in that Blockbuster and she's, like, looking at videotapes, and then she shoots Arnold Schwarzenegger's head off the True Lies poster.
That was great. I was happy with that.
Yeah, yeah. So her interaction, plus when she goes up to the security guard and she's like, are you the security person for this thing? Like, that was hilarious.
I just love her expressions where she's just like confused, but wants to be in control of the situation.
Yes. Yeah. No, she played that well. And I also love, she kind of played off like the cocky thing too, which I liked, because she like knew that we were essentially like subspecies because we're kind of stupid.
I mean, yeah, like one of the characters is like, have you been to this planet? It's such a fucking shithole.
That's true. That's true. That's true. Also, not to spoil, like to get to the end, but when Ronan launches the missiles and she's like, you know, blowing them up in the sky, he's like, they're technology. They don't have technology to do this. But Yeah, I mean, we're the primitive species, and she treated like humans essentially like that. Like, okay, I don't think you understand what I'm saying or understand what's going on here, but it kind of reminded me of like a Back to the Future feel where you're just in this weird world and no one knows what's going on, but you're like in on everything.
Yeah, I totally got the Back to the Future like going back into like 1955 vibe.
Yeah.
Where it's just like you come from a super like awesome futuristic world and now you're like in a blockbuster. It's like
No, I agree. I agree.
100%. It's great.
Yeah. And then obviously I know I'm like taking little bits and pieces of every movie, but the train sequence also reminded me of The Matrix Reloaded.
Not only that, but Spider-Man 2, that just came into my mind.
Very true, very true. And then,
they're in and out of the train, you know, on top, on the side. It's like a great sequence.
It is a great sequence. Also, the smile. I love Brie Larson, and when she pulled the script down from Stan Lee, I was like, oh man, this is
great cameo.
It was, and she. I don't really know how to describe how her effect in the movie, because she just played like she was just so fucking cool. Like you wanted to hang out with her.
Very cool.
You know?
Yeah. Like it's like the type of person that you can just like hang out with and just like have a good time.
Exactly. Like she's like super chill, but then she's also like punching old women
in the face.
Which I gotta say it's still, even though you knew it was happening because of the trailer, it was still one of the best things to see.
I know, that was a great sequence. I know a lot of people in the theater were like laughing, like because that old lady's doing like fucking like acrobatics and like stuff. And Stephanie was sitting next to me, and she's just like, "Damn, this old lady's badass!" Like, what the hell? And that brings me to the. The Captain Marvel and Nick Fury dynamic. They're like road trip together. Their banter.
Yeah.
So good.
It's so good. It really is. And honestly, like I feel like all these things happen at once and it's just such a nice amalgamation of themes and taking things from like different movies. It was like a buddy cop movie, but it's a superhero. It's like Teen Wolf. And then it's also like, fucking Memento. It's like this all these things, and it just becomes this beautiful amalgamation
a combination that shouldn't work, but it does work very well.
It does. It really
there's
does.
So much happening that you could get worried that the movie can just fall in on itself, but it doesn't, because you know you have a good cast, good direction, good action that just holds it up and keeps it together. And that's really the best part about it.
Yeah.
That there's just so much variety in one movie that it's like, you know, you get the fun Guardians, like space adventure. And then you get like, you know, the Iron Man, like on Earth stuff. So my one gripe with the movie is that I remember when the Entertainment Weekly, like articles and like all the press, and you know, I believe there was like a set photo with Ronan, like amongst like all of the Star Force guys. And to my sad heart, he was in like maybe two or three scenes. He was a hologram.
He was the Emperor Palpatine hologram.
Like, ooh, who is this mysterious guy who's already dead in Guardians of the Galaxy?
Jude Law did the Commander Cody thing where he takes out the transponder and it's Ronan just standing there being a badass.
Yes. Which I did like that. I'm like, ooh, they're setting him up for later. And then they're like, oh, later on in the movie, they're like, ooh, call Ronan. And
right.
I'm just like, ooh, he's going to show up and do stuff. And the most he does is he launches a couple missiles. Captain Marvel easily defeats the missiles. And then she's just like, you're going to come at me? And then Ronan's like, nah, we're good. But we'll be back. But we actually won't, because I'm dead in the next.
I know. It's like a weird, like, fake setup thing. Unless. Oh, wait. Ooh. Honestly, I wouldn't be mad about the neck. They're not gonna cross paths again, probably.
I heard somewhere that, I think I heard Kevin Feige, or he tweeted something out where he's like, the next Captain Marvel does not have to take place after Endgame. He said it can take place in between. So there might be a chance we might get to see Ronan again.
And you know what? Even though he did play, I feel like he played a different Ronan, which I liked a lot.
It was a more human and grounded, because like Ronan in Guardians has like the deep, like reverberating voice, and he's like so like extra and like villainous. And in this one, he's just like doing his job.
Yeah, that he is, honestly. He is. And he doesn't have like the black like mud on his face.
He just looks like Blue Lee Pace with a hood.
Right, exactly. And I want to, it would be sweet. It would be pretty cool if he and Captain Marvel cross paths. But the thing is, he's not that much of a threat to her.
Yeah, exactly. Because at the end of this movie, we'll get to that, but
but I mean, no, not many people really are a threat to her. So no. I don't really know how, and to kind of like go off of your criticism about Ronan's not as much involved and being a more central villain of a villain that we already know, and instead they gave it to like generic Jude Law, which sucked because I like Jude Law, but I feel like his character was,
I do like Jude Law, but he was wasted and there wasn't even really a payoff to the fight. He's like, all right, we're gonna fight, and then she's just like, nah, I'm just gonna send you home.
it's true. So I wasn't a big fan of his in the movie. I thought he was weak and not like strength wise, because I know she's essentially on a god power. She's got clearly how they describe the Tesseract, the space stone essentially infused with her body, and he just was there. And honestly, I feel like Ronan was way more of a threat.
He was,
even though
he
was just like a little bit in it, but like at least he put someone in peril that she had to kind of go and do. She's like the Superman. Like Superman has to stop things from other people getting killed, not really because he's being
challenged. I was gonna bring that around, because the climax is more of her saving everyone rather than her fighting the big villain.
Right, which I like, because I feel like it was kind of refreshing. Like she's the only one that's actually like looking out for people.
It really was, and she's so powerful that in like 25 years, like no one ever is like, Captain Marvel, just call her up. It's like a very like, it's like, oh, we got saved from that, but how? We don't know.
Right. So, yeah, I think if they did do a Captain Marvel 2, maybe we could have Ronan going after the Skrulls that she's trying to help, which I think would be pretty cool. Which means we would get more Ben Mendelsohn, we would get more Lee Pace as Ronan. So let's get into the Skrulls, because personally, I think they may have been my favorite part of the movie.
Would you like to know the moment I knew I loved this movie?
I think I know.
It's the moment where they're at the farm, or the Captain Marvel's friend's house. They're just like, oh wait, that might not be your neighbor. And then Ben Mendelsohn just walks in, like sipping a soda, and I'm just like, I love this movie now.
That was my moment of I love this movie as well, because, and at this point, we still think he's bad. So exactly. I loved that. I'm like, oh yes, they finally learned that you need a funny villain. You need someone that can't just get like owned for like an insult off. Like everyone's insulting and they just are kind of taking it and just being like, I'm bad, you need to respect me, rather than being out to dish it out to and be like comedic.
Yeah, I greatly appreciated that. But I did appreciate that he was good, because I'm like, if you're a villain, you're not coming back for the sequel.
No, you're not.
Good, and he lives through it.
Although they made you nervous. They made you nervous when they shot him, because I knew it was happening. I'm like, this thing's going to close, and it's going to be the thing where he gets shot.
Because he's so likable, and I'm just like, oh, they're setting it up. No. Like, you can't do this to me. Like, not
I started this company. You can't do this to me.
No, but I was getting nervous. And then at the end, I'm like, he gets shot. I'm just like, watch it be like that. I'm okay right now, but then I'll live long enough to give my son like advice. But no, he survives to the moon. So I'm just like, okay, great. Like, good.
Yes, he does survive. I'm wondering, maybe they won't have him in Endgame, but because I guess they're not really going to bring too many like side characters from other movies into the Last Avengers. That would just kind of bloat it up too much. But they got to have a Captain Marvel 2, and the Skrulls definitely need to be in it. Like, the Skrulls now need to be her sole protection, and them her trying to find them a home, because they were they were great.
Ooh, but what if he was snapped?
Oh, that would suck. But I mean, eventually they're going to get everyone back, right? That's like the whole point of everything.
That's true. They will perhaps get everyone back. So more Ben Mendelsohn in the future.
Yeah.
Let's just hope for that.
Let's hope for it. And I, aside, the fact when they were doing the computer thing where they're like, what's happening?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, it's loading, you know, it's going.
That was great. That was really good.
And then the whole thing with Ben Mendelsohn, the scientist, and how you like criticized him is like, really, my chief scientist.
You're my guy.
The Skrull Brie Larson relationship. Honestly, everyone around, she was great, and I feel like everyone around her just like fed off that energy, because the cast looked like they had the best time making this movie.
It looked really fun to make this movie.
It did look a lot of fun to make this movie.
But moving on from the, you know, I think this is after Ben Mendelsohn gets shot, and when Captain Marvel gets her like ultimate abilities,
where
like,
she becomes Super Saiyan.
You achieve Super Saiyan, yes.
she
unlocks the power of Shaggy and becomes truly the hero we deserve. And at that point, no one's really a threat to her. Like, everyone's like, eh. It's more of like a fun fight where it's just like, she's just like, oh wow, look what I can do. Like, she's like,
yeah,
beating people down. And she just has like a smile on her face, like, none of you are a threat.
Yep. Yeah. No, I love it. I will say the one thing I didn't like, though, about her in doing that fight, she looks so badass with the fucking helmet.
Like, that is true.
I need more of the Brie Larson with the helmet, because she looks so amazing. And I mean, I get it. I'm sure it's because, you know, the lead actors, it's like the Will Smith thing. Like, he wears the Deadpool mask for like a set, or not Deadpool, the Deadshot mask. And then he takes it off. Like, maybe because they're that big or whatever.
Or like how he's the genie, but he spends most of the movie not the genie. Yeah,
exactly. I wanted to see more of her in the mask. But, you know, it's fine. Whatever. That's not anything like huge. But
Yeah, it's right. It's just, I would have liked to have seen it.
I mean, we saw it, but I wanted to see more of it, because she looks so awesome with that mask on.
It's just really great. And that whole like climax again, like saving everybody. It's refreshing that there's not like a blue beam in the sky or like, you know, some prolonged fight sequence.
Or a tentacle monster. Like, no tentacles, right? Oh no, there are tentacle monsters.
There are tentacle monsters.
That fucking cat. That cat was Disney's way to say, we can get tentacle monsters in every movie as long as this cat's in there.
We can get tentacle monsters and merchandising in this movie.
I know, that cat's going to be a freaking star.
Yeah, it scratched Nick Fury's eye out.
Yep,
you know?
That's right. Which I loved. Can I say, I'm so glad I didn't give him like a badass wound. It was like
it raises an inconsistency with me that's kind of like hilarious looking back, because I believe in Winter Soldier he says, last time I trusted someone I lost an eye. So I'm just like, so you trusted the fucking cat? That's the last person you trusted?
But I do like the fact that they were a team. I mean, they were, those two were a team. There are some forgettable characters in here.
There are. It's unfortunate, but most of Star Force, I'm just like, oh, it's the guy from Guardians of the Galaxy. What? I think there's just way too many characters in the Marvel Universe at this point.
There are, because I, First of all, I didn't know that. I thought Jude Law's character was also Captain Marvel. So,
yeah, that's what I thought. And I was disappointed that it was, what was her name? Annette Bening?
Yeah, she was fine. I feel like she was a plot device.
She was a catalyst.
Yeah.
It's like, well, we need to find out how Captain Marvel gets her powers. So here we go. We created Marvel.
Yeah. And then the Supreme Intelligence thing. I don't know. It was like another villain that was just generic. Just like the rest
For two scenes.
Yeah, thankfully so. Only for a small amount. I really think probably the weakest players here was... I hate to say it. I just feel like Star Force was such a waste.
It was a waste. Because, like, there was some good, like, quips and good back and forth. But then once they turn over to the dark side, if you will...
I feel like it was, like, weird because... I guess some of them still kind of kept the humor about them, but...
There was that one where it's just like, oh, like, is this why you always hated me? It's like, honestly, I just, like, never really, like, liked you at all, to be honest.
Oh, that, yeah. with the Kree woman.
Yeah, like, is this why we never hung out? And it's like, no, I just never liked you.
Yeah, no,
I like that. That was, like, a good, like, bit of humor. But everyone else was just like... villain, like, stoic face.
Yeah, like Jude Law, I knew because it's Jude Law, and then you have Jimon Hansu, I know because he's Korath, and he eventually follows Ronan. And I do like that they still kept the loyalty of, like, oh, he's doing his job, kind of thing. So kind of like hinting at how he's going to kind of align with him. And then you had the sniper girl.
Yeah, the sniper girl.
And that's it, because I don't remember the other two. There was like the big bearded guy.
The beard guy, and then wasn't there an Asian guy? I'm trying to remember.
I don't think he was Asian. I'm pretty sure he was a black guy. I could be wrong. But yeah, he's like the dual wielding pistol guy.
Yeah.
It was like the stereotypical like spec ops team, you know?
Yeah.
So that'd be a gripe of mine. But I mean it's like fine. I'm like, whatever. Like I'm not really invested.
It's like
with
they're there. I don't it's not like Malekith from Thor, where it's just like, this guy looks so fucking bored to be here. It's like, it looks like they're having like a good time, but it's just like, aside from like a few moments, no one really gets like time to like shine, because they're literally out of the movie after she gets on Earth.
Yeah, and they kind of do the same thing with Coulson. I thought Coulson, I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I haven't cared about him since, honestly.
2012 in the Avengers.
Yeah, because they're trying to get people on the fucking Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. thing. I'm like, nope, I'm all set.
It's not happening. It'll get canceled just like every other Marvel Netflix show.
Yep.
Well, before we get into the end credits scene, let's talk about Captain Marvel. It's just like, hey, here's my pager for emergencies only.
That was the most like sequel baity thing.
It was.
I mean, it's not. I'm sure that they were. It was like probably like weirdly written in. There's no like easy way to write that in.
Yeah, which begs the question. I'm like, so the attack on New York wasn't an emergency. I'm like, when Ultron tried to destroy the world, that wasn't an emergency.
It's only for like the worst kind of things, and that's probably why he came up.
When you're literally turning to dust before your eyes, you're like, all right, maybe I should call her. Like, maybe I should. Maybe Nick Fury is just like really polite. Maybe he's like, I don't really want to bother her with my problems. Like, she's fighting a war somewhere in space.
Well, yeah, because I mean that stuff is all like Earth only.
Yeah,
like Ultron wasn't going to go into the galaxy. Oh, but you're right. Maybe Avengers 1 definitely should have been worthy of a call.
Maybe
because it's intergalactic being sent by Thanos.
But he's just like, well, I don't really want to bother her yet.
He's like, let's try these Avengers out. I mean, I guess if he always had him, in worst case, all the Avengers die, and then he just calls her, and then she shows up.
Yeah.
Which is clearly obvious is what happened, because as we can get into the end credits scene, it's clearly a scene from Endgame, how they did a scene from Civil War for, I forget which movie.
I would think it was Ant-Man.
Yeah. And then we see her just appear. So...
teleportation's a power of hers, perhaps?
No, I just think she was like super fast, but she's like kind of disheveled. Like, she looks like she's been through some shit, you know?
Yeah.
Which, Captain Marvel 2 could end It could be like the Rogue One, if you will, to Star Wars Episode 4.
So like the Ant-Man and the Wasp ending, where it's like, ah, fun movie, and then we just end on like the super downer note.
Which sucked, because like, it was like you wanted a more happier thing after Infinity War. And clearly, I mean, we got it for with Captain Marvel, so.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that Captain Marvel didn't end where it's like, ah, Ben Mendelsohn, buddy. And then it's just like, she's holding dust. She's just like, oh.
Yeah, that would suck. That would suck.
Because that's literally how Ant-Man and the Wasp ended. It's like, ah, fun, wacky adventure. And then it's like, oh, all the characters we've tried to save are now dead.
Yeah. Okay, I guess we'll go ahead and rate it. And I was thinking we can rate it out of 10 Flurkins, so the cat species in Captain Marvel. So Christian, out of 10 Flurkins, what are you rating this movie?
I think I'm probably gonna go 8 Flurkins, because again, I did have some minor issues, but on the whole, I think it's very fun, and I would definitely seek this out, maybe on digital or Blu-ray when it comes out, to watch it again.
Yes, I would also agree with 8 Flurkins. I was a big fan of this movie. Especially after watching it and then like really sitting down and digesting and talking about it like this, it got me excited. And I honestly probably will want to see it again in the theater before Endgame.
Oh, totally. Hopefully it's still in theaters. You can do like a double feature. I'm like, all right, let's go to Captain Marvel and then jump over to Endgame.
Yep. No, 100% agree. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening to our Captain Marvel review. Let us know how you like these reviews. We can keep doing them. I actually really enjoyed doing this, and it's way easier than doing all the research for the show normally. So,
Yeah, you just watch a movie, you take a couple notes, you know, find some points to talk about, and there you go.
Yeah, there you go. You got a show. So I want to thank you again, Christian, for coming on. This was really fun. I love talking movies with you. Christian and I talk movies all the time. I call him almost every day on my way home from work, and we talk for a couple hours. And, It was awesome to be able to do with this, so thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, yeah, it's no problem. I really love doing this, too. Like, I never get to do this here. You know, no one's really a fan of, like, stuff like that here.
Very true.
So it's just great. Yeah, it's just great, like, having, like, to talk and, like, to get all this stuff out there. And it's just, you know, it's really cool.
Let us know your thoughts on Captain Marvel. Give us a shout on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Wicked Hot Talk, and go ahead and subscribe to us on iTunes or whatever podcast platform you have. This is John signing off. We'll be back with another episode of our regularly scheduled Wicked Hot in 1 week. Take it easy, guys.
Bye, everybody.